Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
This is Heart to Heart with Sibongile Mofokeng on Radio Pulpit. Heart to Heart.
It is 657 AM. I forgot that I'm on air. I'm dancing to every sound. Yo, hey, Sibongile. Give me the sounds of Luntu Thabang, and the title of the song, The Moment Is Now. Yeah, on Heart to Heart with me, Sibongile Mofokeng, with you up until 3 o'clock. And at 3 o'clock, we'll be saying goodbye to you, Germany. Yo and else will be coming through with something else. Ministering unto you for that moment, for that hour, he will be with you. I'm so honored. I'm so honored in studio, and I'm so blessed to be hosting today. As I said, she will be coming through, Dr. Hefi Sitsiba. She is a psychologist by profession, and she's joining us today. As I had said to the family, that this month is the Mental Health Awareness Month. Now, on my notes, I just wrote mental awareness. Mental Health Awareness Month. She's joining us in a studio. Dr. Sitsiba, hello to you, my queen.
Hello, Sibongile.
How are you?
I can't complain.
You look amazing, I must say.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, and I'm so glad that you're saying you're coming here for the first time.
Yeah, now I know where your home is.
Yeah, now you know where we are. Which is like really awesome. Did you get lost?
No.
Very easy to
not
come
at
here.
All.
Eh?
Yes,
it's very easy to get here.
Straightforward and easy. Thank you.
So it's Mental Health Awareness this month of October. And yes, it's my birth month. Hallelujah. So it's Mental Health Awareness Month.
Yes.
Today we are talking and bringing the two worlds with the church together. Because there's also a book that you and your colleagues have put together, and it's called
Mental Health Within the Christian Community.
Yeah,
the name of the book.
Yeah, I'm going to disturb you a little bit. I'm going to ask you to just pull that mic a little bit to you and let it go down.
Okay.
And then pull it to you a little bit there.
Okay.
Perfecto.
Okay.
So it's for the Christian community.
Yes, definitely. That is what, hence the title, Mental Health Within the Christian Community.
So I'm also thinking about the fact that in the Christian community, are we aware, are we paying attention to mental health? Or are we afraid to even talk about mental health? Because then you're not saved. You don't know Jesus if you're talking mental health.
Yeah,
how are we viewing it?
You're asking a very important question because the focus now is on us as Christians.
Yeah.
Mental health has been around for many years now, many decades, if I have to say this. But one thing that have been bothering, especially professionals within the mental health space, especially Christians, is that mental health, we ended at awareness, especially in our churches. And we feel that it is a space, you know, for professionals only.
Yeah.
And people are afraid to even, you know, get more information, or it just ends there. Maybe because of the fear of the perceptions, or the perception that people have had, especially in the church previously, or things that people...
Like it's a demon.
Yes, or it's a sign of weakness, you know, when you're having a problem, you're having, you know... I don't think the church is able to distinguish really the difference, or to look at mental health and spiritual health as on a continuum. Because you can't separate them, you know, physical health. We talk about holistic health now.
Yes,
you know,
yes,
the talk is about that, the mind, body, soul and spirit.
Yeah.
So I don't really think it's a concept that, especially us as Christians, we really are welcoming it, you know, with open arms. Maybe we're still getting there.
Yeah.
As I said earlier on, we have done, you know, as Christian professionals, psychologists, psychiatrists, psychiatric nurses, we have done, I think, some work in terms of psychoeducation and awareness, but in terms of us as a church welcoming it and talking about it as an example from
it's
the
like
pulpit.
It's taboo.
Yeah. As I said, there's stigma associated with it because there's perceptions around it. That if you are having a depression and as a Christian, I had one lady said, you know, it felt like God has failed because she prayed and prayed again and prayed again. And when she had to be admitted at
one of the hospitals,
a wellness clinic,
yes,
like Vista Clinic or Zwelstrin Clinic, she felt as if God had failed her. And, you know, to correct those perceptions. You know, I often tell patients and people that it is easy for us. Why is it easy for us to approach, you know, doctor's rooms when we have flu, when we have, you know, physically.
You can ask again.
You know, when a patient is admitted in the hospital, we buy them flowers, we buy
we
them chocolate,
them.
And
go
we
there
pray
and
for them.
Fine.
And it's supposed to be okay. But about mental health, why are we looking at it with...
Don't you think, Dr. Stevie, that it's connected to, okay, I don't want to use the word, but demons? Okay, yes, we accept that every sickness has yeah. got a spirit behind, okay?
Yeah.
But maybe because of some people who'd have episodes and then now it's looked as demonized, now people are even afraid to say mental because mental... The episode, yes. I don't know, psychotic episodes. Yeah,
there's episodes. You correct, Sibongile. And I have to say that there's a difference between mental health and mental illness, hey?
Yeah.
And I think that's where we should start.
Right.
Because mental health relates, talks about, you know, the overall state of, you know, mental
being.
Health and
yes.
functioning,
yes.
which everybody has the ability to.
Yeah.
And with mental illness, it's actually the term that is used to refer to, you know, mental health conditions. And there isn't just one, because people, when you talk about mental health, they think
you're psychotic.
Yes, yes. So we
phrenic.
Have to actually make distinguish the difference, because you can still be functioning and have a bipolar mood disorder. As long as you're on treatment and you're maintaining a healthy balance, you can still be functioning when you have been diagnosed with a depression, or, you know, we should understand that we are only reacting to our stressors, the stressors that we can't avoid.
Yeah.
We have daily, you know, experiences that sometimes we find it difficult to cope with.
Yeah.
And I have to also say that people shouldn't think that mental health is for those people out there. And unfortunately, it has reached us, and it is there in the church. That's why I feel it's important to talk about it, to create platforms in the church, even if it's support groups, so that people can openly talk about it, remove the stigma, and just understand what mental health is and what mental illness encompasses, so that we can all collaborate in trying to, you know, handle mental health issues. Mental health doesn't discriminate on mental illness.
Whether you are
educated or poor or rich or Christian or non-Christian.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's important to understand that.
Yeah. Okay, then. But, hey, why is it so hard for us as Christians, Mara? Because we also possess the mind and all. And obviously, if I'm able to have... be wounded on my skin, then I can be wounded somewhere in my soul, in my emotions or something.
But just because you don't have, you know, obvious symptoms, and they are there, hey? It's just that because we have turned a blind eye, we don't even pick up when somebody has a signal that tells you that they are tired, they are on the verge of suicide. We only realize that after the person certainly has taken their lives, that this person had, you know, obviously shown symptoms of depression. Because we can't talk about this, we can't see them with our naked eyes. Unlike, as you said, when somebody has been, you know, their arm has been broken, we take them to the hospital. The same way, I believe the spirit can be broken. I mean, there are a lot of Bible references where, you know, people encourage where the words of Christ himself, he binds up the brokenhearted, you know, as in, you know, the terms that we use to refer to mental health issues.
Even David says a contrite spirit and a
prayer,
he won't turn away.
Yes.
So it means that that does happen. David also says, why are you cast down, my soul?
Yes. So as I said, it's a mental health, unfortunately, or mental illness, at the diseases that we can't see with our naked eyes. We see them through actions, through behaviors, through, you know, observing certain emotions.
Can we look at our Lord Jesus Christ as one who had also experienced some mental health issues when he was at the Garden of Gethsemane and blood was his sweat was mixed with blood?
Yes.
Can we look at it that way?
Yes. The Bible tells us that Jesus was in, you know, he had an emotional turmoil.
Yeah.
His heart was broken.
Yeah.
And I do believe that he had an episode, a depressive episode.
Yeah, because of now the blood mixed with the sweat as well.
He felt helpless. He felt hopeless at that time, maybe. Yeah. And he was, his spirit was
and
broken.
And sure, anxiety was there.
Definitely.
He was
most
so
definitely. He was anxious, and meaning we have
even
emotions.
The sweat shows the symptoms.
Yes, those are the symptoms. Clearly, you said it quite clearly.
Yeah.
The sweating, because when you have anxiety, one of the symptoms is sweating, shaking, trembling. Mm. You know, you don't sleep. You know, so Jesus Christ is a perfect example of being fully human, believing God. And accepting that I'm reacting to a situation right now.
So in this month where we are raising awareness on mental health, what are the important things that we need to note?
Okay. The important thing that I think we need to keep in mind is that, especially as a church, that we are capable, we have the ability, you know, to welcome people who may be struggling with mental health issues or mental illnesses, and we don't have to push them away.
Yeah.
We can embrace them and start to learn from them.
Yeah.
And we can start to think of ways that we can, you know, apply to educate one another, to empower one another, to give each other confidence so that we can dispel the myths, all the myths and the stigma around us. I feel it has to start with us. It must be normal for me, Zbongile, coming to church to say, you know what, I'm not feeling well. Pastor, can you pray for me? My spirit is, you know, contrite. I feel sad. I feel down. I feel a bit depressed. I'm anxious.
How about even having people to talk to in the church?
Yes. Yes. We are actually advocating for that.
Yeah.
You know, as mental health
practitioners.
Yes. Yeah. We are actually saying it can't end with us. Because you think about it, the government right now, especially in South Africa, they acknowledge that mental health is a huge burden. It puts a huge burden, especially on the budget, in the health budget right now. And they are actually advocating through the Department of Health that NGOs and NPOs should actually start helping them with ideas like task shifting. By task shifting, we mean professionals can start training people who are not really like professionals to ease off the burden.
Yeah,
because public hospitals are really like, you go to a public hospital, they give you an appointment, next year's appointment. And our people, I think about 80% of our population can afford private, you know, private services when it comes to mental health. So we must, I think that's where we should start looking at as a church, that there is a window of opportunity with the gifts that the church has.
Yeah.
Like, we naturally have, you know, that when you walk, and people prefer coming to church, for support, for prayers, and for any other forms of help. So I think the church, we need to realize that we are strategically positioned. I believe that God has done that. And maybe it's a wake-up call for us as a church to really think back and start to ask ourselves, you know, important questions like, are we really walking the footsteps of Jesus? Are we really out there for the needy, for the sick, for the brokenhearted, as Jesus did? Because that, you remember, that was one of his ministries, you know, in addition to, you know, telling people about the kingdom. He was concerned and cared, had compassion for those who were sick, for those who were even not with only with physical illnesses, but also who were struggling. You know, he prayed for the sick. If you can remember in the New Testament, one of the men that I remember was that guy who was demon possessed. It doesn't matter where your mental health problems could be coming from, whether it's demons or whatever we can define it. The big question is, what do we do with what we see? And yeah, as a church, maybe it's a call for now to say, to encourage the church, not to be afraid, to come forward, to be trained, you know, to with basic skills. Sometimes we feel it's not our spaces.
Yeah.
It's for, we leave it for professionals. But hey, we are not enough.
Yeah.
We need people to come together and hold hands to fight this big demon that we are fighting together.
You know, you remind me of a song that Tshepo Tshola sang, "Open up the doors and let us in."
Yes.
We want
yes.
to enter the house of the Lord. And yes, it's exactly yes. where we find ourselves
yes.
right now.
Yes.
People really need the help
they do.
From the church.
Mm-hmm.
They need someone to talk to. They need a haven of some sort.
Mm. The church, remember, the church is a space. Everybody knows that the church, it doesn't matter what church.
It should be a hospital.
Yes, for it's a place for healing.
Yeah.
Everyone goes to church. I think you would prefer. I also went several times. Mm. Many a times I remember my spirit was troubled.
Mm.
I really looked forward to Sundays. Oh, I really looked forward to someone, to talking to someone from the church to pray for me. Mm. And we should normalize it. We should make it, you know, be intentional in terms of our target. What are we targeting? And we must really understand and be able to distinguish the difference. I'll give you an example. Sometimes, you know, when we, especially Christian churches, the one, you know, they call themselves like Abazalwani or Apollo. So our churches
those
are characterized, characterized by the preacher will stand there at the pulpit and then preach. Nice, someone do an altar call. Sometimes we'll be, you know, concerned about this woman or this guy or this young person that always come forward for altar calls. This week, next week, the other week, and the other week. And you start to think, could it be that her needs or their needs are not met? Could it be that they're looking for something really more than...
And the church is unable to provide.
Yes, and we believe that, okay, as long as they are prayed for, they should have peace.
Sometimes
you know,
it's not enough.
It's a process.
Yeah.
Yes, sometimes we need to have someone to hold that space for you continuously so that you you journey, you know, in your road to recovery.
But are we equipped for it, Dr. Steve?
Are we? Equipped.
Are the churches equipped?
Mm.
Because now here is Bongile. Dr. Steve is sharing. And you're like, let's pray, my sister.
Yeah.
And then the next thing you know, Enika and Kiriboni and Zotwa, they know Lizandile. They know. The next thing you know, it's a women's gathering. And then the preacher stands and says, and I was talking,
yeah.
Dr. Steve said this to me the other day. And you're like, you feel like, why am I the message?
Yes.
You want to hide.
Yes.
So are
yes.
we equipped or we still need to be trained in that space? Especially because when you're looking at mental health issues, it's like they are so private.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
definitely
something that you want to keep to yourself. You want to share it with the next person, but it ends between the two of you and God.
Yes.
But not you. Mm. Yeah. Because of the stigmas, I think that's why they are treated like that as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that is that on the one hand that probably is making people, you can imagine if people walk to our offices. In the past, I used to experience this.
Yeah.
That people will come to see us and then a phone will ring for with a patient sitting there and they'll be saying, hey, you know what? I can't talk to you. I'm at the doctor, you know?
Yeah.
Not I'm at the psychologist or psychiatrist. Because people don't really want to be associated with anything that has got to do with psychology or psychiatry because of the perceptions. So coming to back to your question, Sibongile, the church, it's a personal opinion. I really feel like I doubt if we are ready for that because we, as much as we have, you know, what it takes, I feel that we need to be, to understand, to be intentional, as I said earlier on, to be relevant, to know what we are doing. Otherwise, we will do more harm than good. That's what we call confidentiality, hey? And I believe that most pastors, most of the church members, we know these things. But sometimes, you know, we'll be going around sort of gossiping about someone because we can't.
Renako,
we can't.
We're praying for you.
We'll be going to the, to someone
to
say, pray with the sister. You know what? She came through and shared this with me. Just let all in the name of prayer.
Yeah.
But then maybe it's because we also don't know.
Because
I don't really judge. I wouldn't really judge the church, because this shows that we are almost on the cliff and looking at, you know, the problems that we are faced with. And instead of jumping, let us just make sure that we know what we're getting ourselves into. Mm. And most probably that is probably why the church sometimes feel like they are not confident when it comes to mental health issues. We are opening up spaces. We are saying, hey, the church has, as I said, skills that they can be, you know, they can be used in terms of, because I believe that in the mental health arena, everybody is important from the psychiatric nurse to the basic counselor. You know, that is, you know, someone that is trained to do just basic counseling, to be sort of a gatekeeper. We often say pastors are gatekeepers, and sometimes they're not even aware of it. We prefer to go to the pastor when we have problems.
And they themselves are also carrying a lot on their shoulders.
Yes.
As pastors.
Yes, yes. And sometimes it's not obvious or it's not easy, especially as a pastor of a church, to say, look, I'm not well equipped, or I feel like I can't handle it.
But then that causes more danger, isn't it? More harm. If I'm not
although equipped. Not intentional, Sibongile, I would love to really look at our pastors as people who are really overburdened.
Yeah.
And I feel that we need to really start looking at ways of, you know, lifting off the burdens from them and work collaboratively with specialists, including, you know, providing training. It mustn't end there, but providing training for basic counselors, those who are willing, they can be trained in issues of confidentiality, and they can ease off the burden. I believe that people are there in the church.
All right. Let's just take a break and then come back to talk to you some more. Also, tell us about the chapter that you wrote in that book as well, what we can find in it. We're taking a break. We're taking the sounds of Hlentombela and the title of the song, Never Run Dry. Are we coming back? I'm with Dr. Happy Sitsiba. It is the Mental Health Awareness Month. The lines are open, family. You can talk to us on 012-334-1322. Our WhatsApp line, 082-657-272.
I Radio Pulpit 657 AM. Umhlobo kwabo banhliziyo zidakumbileyo. Simamele kwi app okanye utyelele uradiopulpit.co.za.
Do you need prayer? Radio Pulpit, in collaboration with Need Pray, is ready to stand in prayer with you. Contact us today with your prayer request at 012-334-1222 or WhatsApp us on 067-429-7564. You can also visit us on radiopulpit.co.za for your online prayer request. We will faithfully pray with you.
In today's rush world, there is limited time for yourself. Your cell phone, however, is with you all the time. So why not use it? Visit our Radio Pulpit website with your cell phone and restore your soul. There you can find out more about Radio Pulpit, download the Bible to your cell phone, read Word for Today, and you can listen to us online. Just visit www.radiopulpit.co.za, especially developed for your cell phone. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion.
It is 657 AM. It is Radio Pulpit, your daily companion. And we gave you sounds coming there from Hle Ntombela and the title of the song, Never Run Dry. It is Heart to Heart. I'm Sibongile Mofokeng, and I will be saying goodbye to you at 3 o'clock when Germany Johan Els will be coming through with something else. Family, this is for our attention as listeners. I am a listener of Radio Pulpit as well. So this is for our attention. Please note that we are currently off air on 657 AM due to vandalism at our Centec transmitter site. But don't worry, our broadcast continues uninterrupted. You can still listen to us anytime on the Radio Pulpit app or visit our website at www.radiopulpit.co.za. And remember, you can also tune in to Radio Pulpit, Jikelele and Radio Kansel Hartlank, streaming 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Stay connected. Stay inspired, only on Radio Pulpit. Visit radiopulpit.co.za for all your ways to listen.
Tune in to Radio Pulpit on 657 AM for reliable Christian talk radio at its best. Find your daily dose of Christ-centered motivation and encouragement on Radio Pulpit 657. Download our app now. Tune in to radiopulpit.co.za or find us on DSTV Audio 882 and OpenView 607. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion for more than 40 years, brings a relevant moral alternative to 400,000 listeners in a variety of South African languages. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and download our podcasts today.
Mm-hmm. It is us, Radio Pulpit, your daily companion. I'm not alone. I'm with my queen. I'm with Dr. Hepisi Tsiba. It is the Mental Health Awareness Month, and we are raising awareness around this. There's one question that I have, Dr. Tsiba, that when it comes to stigmas, do we have stigmas that come from the church where mental health is concerned specifically as well? And do we have general?
It's an interesting question. Yeah, I think there is a stigma that is particularly coming from the perceptions of maybe people from the church.
Yeah.
Because the church, I think we be, as a church of Christ, we believe in prayer. We believe in that we read the Bible differently from those who don't, you know. We look at things differently.
Yeah.
For instance, as we said earlier on, that the stigma about, particularly in the church, is about not believing enough, not trusting God, being of weak faith, having committed a certain sins because you need forgiveness, and then your mental health issues will be resolved. Whereas out there, the stigma maybe of maybe and the shame associated with mental health, it may not necessarily be your connection with God, your personal connection. It may be about you being able to function, you being able to live a productive life outside and being able to interact with people effectively. Like, for instance, in the workplace, as an example, there is stigma against people who have who come forward to say, I have mental health issues, you know. They risk, they probably may be risking promotion, as an example, because it is believed that they are breaking down easily, so they can't spend years, especially in senior positions where, you know, there's a lot of work involved. So I think, yeah, there is stigma differs from, you know, context to context.
Tell us a little bit about that book and the chapter that you wrote as well.
Okay. The name of the book is called Mental Health Within the Christian Community. I must also start by thanking Mr. Thabang Taka, who is the editor. He's the mastermind, actually, behind, you know, this book. Wherever he is, I hope he's listening. A fellow Christian and a colleague.
Yeah.
He's a clinical psychologist, and he is very passionate. So I must really acknowledge our editor. There's about 15, I think, of us that collaborated in writing this book.
Okay.
A Christian, and it is within a Christian perspective. If I have to take you through this book, it is really a very comprehensive, you know, anybody will be able to relate, especially Christians, when they, it's very relatable when you, from the first chapter. So every one of us, the 15 of us is like co-authors. We have chosen a chapter that we feel comfortable with. Like we discuss issues like from stigma. There's another chapter that I remember talks about having faith post-scams. You know, there's churches and there's, you know, a post, the cults or other organizations that call themselves churches. A lot of people get hurt there, get traumatized, and how do we deal with it?
In cults, then, yes.
But then I hope that my colleagues will be coming through at some point, each one of them to talk about their chapters. Mine is particularly on the church. That is why even at the beginning I spoke a lot about, you know, the church, raising awareness within our churches and realizing that there's a lot of, you know, there's a window of opportunity for us, especially as a church in South Africa, living, you know, under these circumstances. We see, especially post-COVID, there was so much. Churches were closed, people were dying. And I don't think a lot of us have really dealt with that. And sometimes we're not even sure what we're looking for. The church seems to be the only place that makes sense for a lot of us. You know, you can remember when churches were closed, people were in distress and they couldn't even access, you know, services at churches. So I am writing, I have written this chapter with that in mind and taking you through that chapter that I have authored about the church. Yeah. I've integrated, you know, what the government is saying and acknowledge that, you know, they need, especially faith-based organizations, to step in because of the shortage that we have in our, you know, professional space. Because if you look at our population against, you know, the psychiatrist, mental health professionals that we have, the population is, you know, we are not enough for one psychologist to be servicing even in the in our public hospitals. So there's an outcry there that churches and faith-based or other faith-based organizations can step in here with it, as I said, with its unique gifts that are natural, compassion, caring, inclusivity, you know. And I feel that is an opportunity for the church. I am also highlighting in the scope, you know, of mental health issues globally and in South Africa where we live every day. You know, there is gender-based violence, a lot of trauma and violence surrounding us, especially in South Africa. South Africa is regarded as one of those countries where we are battling a lot of mental health problems, and the numbers are rising every day. You can imagine how many people commit suicide every 40 minutes. That information we get from the South African Depression and Anxiety Group, the largest, you know, mental health organization in South Africa here in our country. I am also highlighting that suicide and people who are at risk, you know, everybody's at risk because of, you know, the kind of, you know, stressors that we are faced with.
That we are faced with.
Poverty, unemployment, our socioeconomic conditions are really, we are at a dire risk of, you know, risking our mental health on a daily basis. And I am also looking at adolescent and mental health, because they are our future generation. And if we turn a blind eye on them toward, actually, the reason why I have included those as, you know, adolescent, it, my personal experience where I work, I'm based at Med Forum Midi Clinic, and there was a time, and it still happens now, when I was being called almost every weekend to come and, you know, attend to a young person, 16, from as early as 10, who have, you know, taken overdose, who are, you know, have parasuicide or attempted suicide. So it's very important that we turn our focus towards our, you know, our young people, because they are experiencing a lot. And I also highlight, you know, the risk factors such as poverty and mental health, violence, as I said, and mental health, and other form of factors that otherwise we could be ignoring. Like, for instance, we believe that violence or mental health, let me say violence, you even find violence in church. You know, people violate one another in churches. You find that within the Christian church, there's so much happening that creates and exposes us to trauma. You know, the church is not the church that we, you know, an ideal church. And we are actually calling, in this chapter, I'm actually saying, are we still relevant? Maybe those are pertinent questions as a church that we could be asking ourselves from now and looking at the impact of, you know, our behaviors, the impact of, you know, what is happening around us. Are we also impacted to that point where we are not able to rise up and say, no, man, you know what, let us not forget our ministerial mandate as a church.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, let us just go back to look at the life of Christ himself, how, you know, he walked around in synagogues, how he spoke about, you know, his kingdom mandate, you know, and also the mandate that he was concerned about of well-being, you know, the well-being of the people, because it wouldn't help to preach to the people to tell them about the coming kingdom when you arrive at the place you witness people going hungry, killing one another. We believe that, I think as a Church of Christ, we are called in a time like this where we have to clothe the hungry, give food to the hungry, clothe the poor, tell them about the good news, but also do something that is very practical.
Sure. And I'm just thinking, even the ones who are in leadership themselves, you find they are so heavy burdened as well.
Mm-hmm.
And in other churches, sometimes, yes, it's good to go to church Wednesday, but you find in other churches, you stay there.
Yeah.
There's that pressure that you stay at church.
Yeah.
And there's that pressure of certain things that are practices that are done in the church that are putting more pressure on the poor, putting more pressure on others as well. So, sure, it's very important that we check up on these. As you spoke about also people being violated right within the church and not even having a safe haven afterwards, not even knowing where to go, who to talk to. After that, the person has been exposed to that right within the church. And this is where we're supposed to go and unmask and be healed. But now that's where you get unmasked, but then
wounded
again.
Yeah,
this is very how can we get the book?
You can
talk to Mr. Tucker.
It's available at the moment. We have all of us individuals copies.
Okay.
Then I will give you, is it fine if I give you the contact, my contact?
Yes.
072, it's a WhatsApp number, 072-771-3188.
Okay, then. Time is so flying. Sure, I don't believe that we are at the end of our talk for today. It feels unreal that we are already here, but we are. What are your closing statements to the church, to the body of Christ, where mental health is concerned? I know we're still going to have some other talks with you, but what do we say to the church as we are closing?
Okay, this is what I want to say to encourage the church, that, God has chosen the church, you know, to represent him here on earth. And I think we need to, as a church, from time to time, to come back and get a perspective. Especially, we need to go back to God and check if we are still, you know, relevant, a relevant church. I will quote from the chapter, just to encourage the church, the way, I think this is the way God sees its church. His church, Bill Hybels here says, nothing on earth has greater potential to change lives and carry out his kingdom work in your community than your local church.
Sure.
And there is nothing like the local church. When it's, especially when it's working right, there's nothing like it. Its beauty is indescribable. Its power is breathtaking. And its potential is unlimited. And no other organization on earth is like the church. Nothing ever comes close. And I believe it.
Wow, Dr. Hebe Steva, thank you so much for coming through to minister unto us and making us, helping us take stock and check if we are still relevant. And also help us to reposition ourselves, the posture of our hearts, and the posture of the churches that we are in as well, to becoming exactly what the Lord says we ought to be. For us who'd like to talk to you directly, yes, I know for the book you've given us the number. Is it the same?
It's the same.
Okay.
Yes, it's the same number, 072-771-3188.
Wow.
I have only one number, unfortunately.
And okay, give us the times that we need to call. Hey, phela re ka o phone la ka 3 pm.
You
in the wee hours.
Ke go pase. Yeah, the line is usually during the day, because okay. I'm in consultations from 8 o'clock until 4 o'clock.
Okay.
Or sometimes I go, you know.
So we can drop you a WhatsApp as well.
Yeah, please, right. Preferably WhatsApp, and then I respond on WhatsApp whenever. Please be patient with me. If I take 2 days without responding,
yeah. Thank you so much for breaking this ground.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think it's an easy one, but thank you so much for challenging us as the church to do something where mental health is concerned, for breaking this ground, you know, at least.
Thank you.
And we have to grow from it. I'm looking forward to a time where, really, as you say, people will run to the church and they get help where their mental health is concerned as well. Not mm-hmm. only being prayed for, but also find support,
yes.
a support structure that would also assist in their journeys. May God awesomely bless you.
Thank you.
And family, do remember the numbers again, 072-771-3188. You can drop a WhatsApp there, 072-771-3188. We're crossing over to the 2 o'clock news bulletin.
Thola inkuthazo yakho nokuphakanyisa kanye nokuqiniswa imihla namalanga ekhasini lethu leFacebook. Hlanganyela nomphakathi weRadio Pulpit kuFacebook.
Do you need prayer? WhatsApp your name and your prayer request to 082-657-2729, and our care center will gladly contact you to pray for you.
Add your voice to ours. We want to hear from you. Contact us at gospel@radiopulpit.co.za or send a WhatsApp to 082-657-2729. Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
You're at 657 AM, radio caring 24 hours a day. You and 657 AM and life, a winning team on the road to eternity.